Goldar, are you ready?
Yes, so evil one. First we separate Jason from the others.
Then Rita grows you real tall.
And then we crush him.
This is so 90s. Not that.
Affirmative.
Hey, this is Lindsay, and I'm the yellow podcast ranger.
This is Mike, and I am the red podcast ranger.
And this is Daryl, and I'm the black podcast ranger.
And you are listening to the Mighty Morphin Forgotten Failures, the podcast where we watch Mighty
Power
Morphin
Rangers?
Power Rangers.
Yeah.
That's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's
so unfortunately, Mike D, a.k.a. the blue podcast ranger, could not make it to our viewing tonight. So he's not here. And what we're going to do is Mike is going to watch this episode separately, and he's going to have a little bit where he gives his own review at the end of this podcast. So stay tuned.
Because as you might recall, we do this because Mike has never seen this.
Yes. So we definitely
like
want to make sure.
Yeah.
We need to make sure he does see all of these episodes. Yeah. It's very important to us.
For us, this is fun. For him, this is actual homework that he will be checking.
Yeah.
If this was a normal mini episode where we weren't doing something that he hadn't seen, we'd probably just roll with the three of us. But since Mike's kind of integral, we figure we'll just tack him on to the end and we'll go from there.
And we don't want him to miss any of the continuity.
Because
of the show.
Yes.
This is like Breaking Bad. You miss an episode, you might as well go back.
You don't know where you are.
Yeah.
Where's Goldar? I don't know. I don't know.
What happened to Goldar?
Yeah. What's up with Finster? What's he got?
I don't know.
What's he got in the film kiln this week?
So where are we? Where are we when we get this episode?
We're on episode 4 now.
Yeah.
It's titled A Pressing Engagement.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Which we didn't realize until maybe about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It was called A Pressing Engagement.
It went over my head. It went over Mike R's head.
Yeah.
Did not go over Daryl's head.
Yes.
No, I just didn't know the title of the episode. When I heard it, cringe-worthy.
So, Daryl, why is it called A Pressing Engagement?
Well, the scene opens at the youth center, or whatever this place is. This multi-purpose, multi-billion dollar center with Jason, the red Power Ranger, trying to break the bench press record, which I guess is 1,010 reps.
1,009.
1,009, I guess, yes.
Yeah.
Which is an awkward number. Plus, why? Who does 1,000 reps?
And
why?
Also... And also, the person who owns this record, we find out, is Bulk. Big old Bulk.
Yes.
Also, why?
Also why?
Yeah, I'm no like gym rat or anything, so I'm not like any sort of aficionado when it comes to how many reps of anything you're supposed to be doing. I don't even really know like the difference between reps and sets.
Yeah.
So
neither do I.
So I just don't think that bench pressing 1,000. Like, I don't think that bench pressing anything 1,000 times is good for
I don't think so either.
I don't think it's anything to try to... I thought that, like, bench pressing was all about the weights.
I think it is, too. It's like, more about just, like, doing, like, you do the one or maybe you do three
or something
like that.
Yeah, like, you do, like, 10 of, like, your body weight, and then you're cool or something.
Yeah, I don't really understand why this is happening or why this record even exists.
Yeah.
What's great, though...
Or why Bulk has it. He's had it for a while.
What's great, though, is... The Red Ranger, he's very close to breaking the record.
Yes.
And Ernie, who's keeping count while eating a sub and drinking some Kool-Aid and just being an overall fatty.
So he's basically like, one, chomp, 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 two, chomp, chomp, chomp.
And he's got a really huge napkin. It's not even, it's like a picnic blanket or a napkin.
And lettuce is just flying everywhere.
And he's
talking with his mouth full.
And while this is happening, and there's a crowd around Jason, Kimberly is over off on the side on a balance beam.
Doing gymnastics.
Doing her gymnastics and her pink, like, leotard, like, full leotard. And she does exactly one trick and then congratulates herself. She's like, yeah, good job. And
she's
then
like,
she, like, hops off.
Yeah.
So she does one rep.
She does her thing. She's like, I know. I'm good.
Yeah. No one's watching her. She could care. She gives no fucks.
Yeah. And then she goes over and cheers on Jason as they're trying to do these bench presses. And so while they cut to Kimberly, I think they were out like 107, 108.
Yeah.
And they get back and homeboy Ernie's lost track of time.
Yeah.
And so they start back at like 998 again.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I guess we'll just do this again.
Yeah.
And then
he's too busy eating a sandwich.
Yeah. And I think at this time he messes up and like, we have to start again. I think they don't explicitly say it, but they cut to another scene and now he's eating a hamburger and not a sandwich.
Oh.
So I think he did a whole nother 1,000.
Yeah. And Jason, to his credit, is not losing his cool
at
having done
all.
Like a couple thousand reps. Yes. Back to back.
at the youth center.
And then he's very close. Like, he's almost there. And Kimberly starts blowing. She's chewing gum for some reason. She starts blowing a bubble.
It's huge.
It's gigantic. It's bigger than her face.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the Black Ranger, what his name's Derek?
Zach.
He's skateboarding in the gym.
Yeah, he's just skateboarding around the workout equipment.
You're
just
allowed to do whatever you want in this gym. It's utter fucking mayhem. And so he's skateboarding around, and everybody's saying, oh, look at Kimberly. Everybody that's watching Jason. So everybody Jason, and Jason's like losing concentration finally.
Yeah.
And he looks over once. Zach runs into Kimberly face on, and Kimberly's bubblegum just pops right in her face. And so Jason is out his...
He can't get that last rep in.
No, he cannot break that record. And that's when we find out, because Bulk and Skull come in and they're dicks as usual. Yeah, as per usual.
Bulking it up.
Yeah. There is a great scene, though, with Bulk, when Bulk's like giving him some shit. He's talking about how he's never going to top his shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And... Jason decides to, Bulk has him in a hold, and Jason decides to start tickling him.
Yeah,
it's very
to get him out of
He asks him if he's ticklish, and he just starts tickling him.
Yeah, it's very cute.
And Bulk starts squirming.
Yes.
And then and Jason accidentally like steps on his, or maybe not accidentally, steps on Bulk's foot.
Uh-huh.
So Bulk like lunges forward. He bends forward, and that rips the seat of his pants clean off.
Yes.
Clean off.
Exposing... Yeah. What I can only imagine are just another pair of pants.
Yeah, yes. We find out that they're shorts. They almost look like swim trunks or something. Because they're not boxers. Yeah. They're like below the knee.
Yeah, it's like he got a pattern from like 1908. Like from like swim trunks from 1908.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then got like some like 90s fabric to make it out of. That's exactly what it looked like.
And you can tell they're like the 90s fabric because they're like super long shorts. Oh, yeah. Like go all the way down to like around a little bit past his knees. Yeah.
They're almost like JNCO.
Like cross colors or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, and if it seems like we're talking a lot about the pre-show of, like, just before they start fighting, that's because this episode had a lot of before fighting. Like, it was a lot of American footage.
A lot of it was in the Gym and Juice.
Yeah.
In fact, you see that, like, Youth Center sign, like, six times before you even see any villain at all.
Yeah.
And what's great is there's when they're chilling just before Bull comes up to give him a bunch of shit and then rip his pants in front of everybody, they're... Like, they just open on the scene, because this is right after Jason sort of gave up on making that record of bench presses. And Kimberly is just like, she's saying,
Zach
is saying he's sorry. Yeah, Zach is saying he's sorry for running into Kimberly on his skateboard. And Kimberly's like, forget it. It's casual.
It's casual.
So I want that to catch on
such a good line.
So for all of our like 10 viewers or listeners, just start spreading it's casual out there.
It's casual.
Do things awkward to people. Like, you know,
accidentally,
you know, try to open a door and brush up against someone's genitals. It's casual.
Yeah. No big deal.
It's casual.
Yeah. Just replace it anytime you have to say no problem or it's cool. Don't worry about it. Just say, hey, it's casual.
Yeah. People will get it.
People will get it.
They will know.
You will be setting trends.
Yeah. All right. So enough of this pregame crap.
Yeah.
Let's get on to the villain kiln.
Yep.
This week we had the King Sphinx.
Yeah. And this one was a phone-in. I mean, Finster got asked, like, hey, what? Rita Repulsa was like, hey, what's up for this week? What kind of villain? What villain you making for me? He's like, oh, I don't know. She gets up in his face like, what do you mean you don't know? He's like, I don't know. I got to think about it a little bit. He seemed like
he pulled one out from his back catalog.
Yeah,
that's what I feel like. Yeah,
because he was like, well, what about what's his face? He does stuff that does the things that you want him to do.
He's like, he was doing this in like undergraduate school.
Yeah.
And he's like, I kind of got this King Sphinx thing working. Yeah, you didn't like it 5 years ago, but today it'll be good.
Like, hey, is it good enough? I mean, it's an answer.
Yeah. And the thing I don't get is because he talks about this King Sphinx as though he's made him already.
Yes. Yeah.
So why does he have to kill him again?
Yeah, I don't know.
Clayify a
maybe
bad guy?
Maybe he made a copy. Maybe he had a copy. Yeah. Maybe he's got a mold and he made a new one.
He has the master.
He's got the King Sphinx
mold.
So he's really folding like life in at this point. He's like, I got all these really good ones. I mean, I've used King Sphinx like 7 times. She hasn't even remembered.
Yeah.
It's like she doesn't even pay attention.
Rita Repulsa's got a little bit of Alzheimer's going
on. She does.
And serious, I just love Finster now. He's now become my favorite villain because he just clearly does not care.
Yeah.
He's
really
being
doesn't.
Yelled at. He's just like, I'll go get it. Fine. Whatever.
He kind of knows that like nothing can be done to him because he is the Finster.
Yeah.
He's the master of the villain killing.
Can anyone else make
no one.
Villains?
No one. Who the fuck else is there?
Nobody.
That
goddamn baboon isn't going to do it.
he's basically tenured and he fucking knows it.
Yeah.
Like, I can sleep in, like, yeah. Come in with alcohol on my breath. Yeah. Doesn't even matter.
Like, eat you got shit, Rita.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you want to run the Bill and kill the day?
Again.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's cool. You run
casual.
It today.
It's casual.
Yeah, it's casual. You run it today.
Yeah.
You run it.
Yeah.
Tell me how it works.
Oh, you don't like my ideas? Oh, okay, I'm gonna go. You can handle this. You got it. Like, I have a feeling you could throw some real attitude around.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Get away with that.
I'm really hoping for a real character arc with him.
Oh, yeah.
Just like in peril of losing his job.
That'd be great if there's just an episode of a Finster based episode,
yeah.
Where he like takes off and he's like, he can't deal with it. And he just like, goes and drinks and just he grows like he has like a little bit of like a 5 o'clock like shadow.
Yeah, a little stubble.
Stops, yeah, he's got stubble because he stops shaving. Man. He doesn't care.
Finster. Someone out there's got to have a Finster tattoo.
Oh, yes. Because he's great. Yeah. He's great looking, too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good character.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like if someone made Larry David into a villain from the 90s.
Into a bird villain.
He looks kind of like Jim Henson-ish.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he does, actually.
Yeah.
He does. The only thing that's kind of fucked up about his costume is like his mouth, but all their mouths are kind of weird. Like, his teeth don't make sense.
No.
But
no.
They're like painted in.
All right, so King Sphinx's big power is that he's got these. So he's basically like an Egyptian. He's got the pharaoh thing,
yep.
And he's got some wings. Which I don't know if the Sphinx really have wings.
I don't think so.
But he's the King Sphinx,
so
he's got wings.
Maybe. Yeah.
So his big power is that he's got wings, and he just kind of flaps them, kind of like a pelican or something, like strutting his stuff, and it just whips up like crazy wind. And apparently, it's powerful enough to shoot the Pink Ranger and the Black Ranger back to the youth center. And also out of their costumes, like they morph into Power Rangers, and then he shoots. He basically just starts whipping up his wings, and then all of a sudden they're back in the youth center and they're wearing street clothes.
Yeah, you kind of see them travel back, and they're like blobs of color, like over the youth center, and then you see the next shot is like Kimberly lands right on the balance beam, in her leotard again, and then Zach follows quickly afterwards. And so the
followed
whole idea,
by some casual,
super
casual.
Casual,
just a little casual stuff.
So the whole idea for Rita is that she wants to get the Red Ranger alone for whatever reason. She thinks it's easier to defeat him.
She thinks that he's the leader, he's the strongest, so if they can get him alone, they can take him down, and then the rest of the Power Rangers will be easy to beat after that.
It's episode 4, and she's already like, I've already pegged this one. He's the leader.
It's pretty obvious, alpha. Though. Yeah. He is.
Yeah. He's trying to show me how much he can bench press.
Yeah.
Obviously, he thinks he's got something.
Yeah, so then the Pink Ranger and the Black Ranger, they end up finding the Yellow Ranger and the Blue Ranger.
AV room, like the janitor's
science club room.
The science club, computer room.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we need to go do things. And they
like, we're already doing things.
Yeah.
Casual stuff. But
yeah,
whatever.
We're just keeping a cash back here.
And they really had no reason to be there. It was kind of awkward because they were just like standing around. Mm-hmm. They weren't working on anything.
No.
They were just there. So they end up going and finding the Red Ranger. And there's some pretty sweet morph in action that happens.
Oh, yeah. So they find out they go to Zoltar.
Yeah.
Zoltar?
Now
I forgot his name.
Zardon?
Zardon? No. God damn it.
Floating face man.
Yeah. Whatever.
Zordon. One of them. It's one of the Z's and it's got some.
So they go to Zordon and we get introduced to a new thing, some sort of crystals. Power crystals, I forget what they're called.
Yes.
And so basically they put their hands together like they're praying or something, and then they pull them apart and a crystal forms. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time we've ever seen this. This is the first time the Power Rangers have ever seen this.
Yeah.
And then they're like these weird color lasers at first.
Yeah.
But then they collect them and they're like crystals. They're like cone-shaped crystals.
Yeah.
They stick them in a bag and Zordon shoots them to Jason, who's fighting both King Sphinx and Goldar by himself.
Yeah, just in a little messenger
bag. Yeah, just a little messenger bag. He's just like, here, take these.
These things are like glass looking. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's kind of weird. They look like, you know, if you get like those ice pops, they look like
before
you freeze them.
One. Yep, that's what they look like.
That is good.
And so this is our first time seeing them.
Yes.
This is the rest of the Rangers' first time making them.
Yes.
But for whatever reason, when Jason sees them, he knows exactly what to do.
Yes. He knows exactly what they are.
He's like, oh, sweet, these things. Yeah. All right, you ready for my friends? Because I know they're in these crystals that I just got and found.
I'm going to throw these things that I just found at you and see what happens.
Yeah. So he does that. The Power Rangers show up, and then there's the epic battle. It's standard Power Rangers affair. We see the first, I think for the first time in the series, we see the tank mode Megazord.
We see that
tank
a couple
mode.
Times.
Yeah.
They go in and out of tank mode like it's fucking nothing.
It's like tank mode, Megazord, tank mode, Megazord.
Yeah.
And it's super easy. Like, I guess Goldar swings a sword and they like try to evade it, so they kind of like lean back.
Yeah, they
limo
do like a Matrix
style,
type of deal.
It was like tank mode again. That seems
yeah, they go tank mode and there's a tank and then they shoot them and then they're like Megazord mode.
Yeah. It's like they were doing the whip and Nae Nae. Yeah. but I do have a real question here. I need to get real with you for a second.
Yeah.
So when they're in their individual little dino modes and their individual
Zords.
When there is very little space. There's enough space for one person.
Correct.
In the cabin of each dino Zord.
Mm-hmm.
When they morph together mm-hmm. and they join up. For how I don't understand how then there is a cabin for five people.
Yeah.
How does the metal liquefy and just reform with the seats?
Like, yes, yeah. The only if I'm really trying to break it down logically is that when they do the Megazord, there's a new head that pops up because Jason, he's the head of the Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah.
But then when they make the Megazord, that goes into the chest and a head pops out.
Oh, so you're right.
I don't know how the
so
head
maybe
pops
there's like
out.
A separate room.
I think
in
it's a
the
whole
chest.
like a CEO chamber, and you know,
yeah,
and they're all
exactly like a war room.
Yeah, it's a war room, and they can all hang out in that one head.
Okay.
I think don't.
I mean,
that's my
I'll
own.
Buy it. Yeah. It's better than
pretty reasonable.
It's better than anything that the Power Rangers is ever going to offer me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is
nothing.
Definitely nothing. Yeah. Like, what other thing? Anyone else notice that Goldar and King Sphinx look extremely similar? Like, they're probably related.
It's the same. It's the same suit. They just added Sphinx
again.
Even the
Finster,
face, they kind of look similar.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's probably just the same master mold, and then he just adds like the Sphinx.
He probably does have
like, hat.
He probably has like five. Yeah, he probably has like five master molds.
Yeah,
and then he'll just put on extra clay like into different areas,
like just little accessories. Yeah. Like, oh, this guy needs a Pharaoh hat. Like,
yeah,
it looks a lot like Goldar. No, he's got spikes on him now, so he's not.
I'm gonna get rid of this guy's head and put a shark head.
Yeah,
he's
is this
now
the
shark sphinx?
Is this the king sphinx? No, he has much bigger feet than the king sphinx. He's the feet sphinx.
So before we get even more sidetracked in this whole episode's been, the Power Rangers beat both the Sphinx.
Of course they.
What
and
a
Goldar,
surprise!
Yeah.
And then we find Jason. He beats the record.
Yep.
There's a cape.
He does another thousand.
He does another
reps.
1,010 reps.
So in this episode, he does like 3,000 or 4,000 reps just
easily.
In a day.
In a day.
You know, normal life in the life of Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they get a cake and Bulk trips and face plants into the cake.
And the trip is pretty sweet because there's a trip effect where when he trips, it says trip on the screen by his foot. It's great.
Man.
All right. So this week, so that's the episode. Yep. We'll let Mike tack his on in a minute here. And then this week we're going to cover Amy Jo Johnson, the Pink Ranger.
Yes.
All right. I got a little pre-written thing here. I'm just going to read it off. So Amy Jo was born in Massachusetts in 1970. She worked hard to be an Olympic gymnast early in her life. When she fell short, she turned to acting and found herself as the Pink Ranger. This was very early in her acting career. She kind of just stumbled upon this.
That's really lucky because the Pink Ranger is a gymnast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know if that was they worked that in or if the other way around. But either way, so she's sort of an anomaly for the Power Rangers alumni as she kept acting post-Morphin Time.
She did. I recognize her from a lot of things from the 90s.
She never caught like a huge break, but she did find herself as what was it? A sniper in an award-winning Canadian series called Flashpoint. She was nominated for Best Actress in a Leading Role for a Gemini Award, which the Gemini Award I had to look up. It's akin to like the United States like the Emmy Awards. It's like Canada's Emmy Awards.
Like a TV.
Yeah. So after that, she would end up on a J.J. Abrams TV show, Felicity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s, she was most recently on a show that's now canceled, a USA show called Covert Affairs. That's her in a nutshell. Other than that, she married some dude, I think, who is Canadian. They live in Toronto and have a kid together, and she has dual citizenship.
Damn, she's like hella living that Canada life.
Yeah, she's all about it.
Yeah.
I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
Hold on to your butts, because Mike D is coming up next with some thoughts on the very same episode.
Good evening, this is Mike D, and to maintain some spontaneity, I have not listened to what my buddies have said about episode 4 of Power Rangers, A Pressing Engagement, so I will just give a short list of observations about the episode. Observation the first of 9, by the way, the title, A Pressing Engagement. I was hoping this would refer to one of the Power Rangers or one of the other characters getting engaged, possibly Bulk or Skull, possibly Rita Repulsa would try to appear on Earth and become engaged to the Red Ranger or the Blue or Black Rangers. But that did not happen. It turns out that actually the important word was not engagement, but pressing, because the plot of the episode mostly revolves around the Red Ranger bench pressing, which very much impresses Rita Repulsa and makes her realize that he should be separated from the others. Kill the head and the body will die. That's what she says. Not literally. She doesn't actually say that. Observation second. Once again, Zardoz introduces some new accessories that the Rangers will need. He keeps doling these out gradually, episode by episode. Last time it was the power weapons, which give power to you because they have power. This time it's the power crystals, which don't do anything. There seems to be one for each Ranger, and they're shaped like Otter Pops. And he throws them all to the Red Ranger, and then he says, "Wow, cool, power crystals," although he's never seen them before. So how does he know what they are? And he kind of throws them in the air, I think, and then they turn into the other Rangers. So is that all they do? I don't know. Observation the third. Finster has really stupid ideas. It seems like Rita Repulsa always asks him for some idea, and you just can't come up with that many good ideas. So this time he just comes up with whatever was on the top of his head. He was dreaming, apparently daydreaming, about seeing some sort of Egyptian creature with a mummy-style head and wings, and he dreamed about that standing in the middle of a soccer stadium with Babu and Squat sitting in the bleachers clapping, and then that turned out to be what actually happened. Which brings me to observation the fourth. Where is this place where the Rangers fight the putties and the other monsters? Because they always seem to be in the same place. It seems to be some sort of a quarry or abandoned nuclear testing site. It's just like a blank expanse of gray dust and gravel, and it looks like it's surrounded by Mayan pyramids. I guess this is in Japan that they film these things, but it's really desolate looking. And there also seem to be these bleachers there, which are made of concrete and which look like they're in one of those Serbian or Ukrainian soccer stadiums that were built 70 years ago and have never been updated since then. Observation 5, Bulk's boxer shorts. He gets his pants pulled down, and his boxer shorts are nearly as big as Kevin Smith's famous jorts that he was pumping gas in. They go well below his knees, maybe all the way to his ankles. Are they still boxer shorts? Who knows? The observation the sixth, also about Bulk and Skull. I think they change their costumes every episode, but somehow the Rangers don't. The Blue Ranger was in a different costume at least one episode, but now he's back to his old look of overalls over a really warm-looking t-shirt. And observation the seventh, the Blue Ranger only says one thing in this entire episode, and it is, "Your outstanding performance will have a lasting legacy." That doesn't even have any big words in it. Observation the eighth, the Red Ranger helmet has dinosaur teeth around the visor. Maybe everybody knew that, but it sets it apart from the other helmets and looks stupid. Observation 9, I realize now there is a strong similarity between Kimberly and the character Amy Santiago from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, both in their physical appearance and in their approach to the world, which is being very self-satisfied while also somehow being aware that nobody else notices the amazing things that they do, which impress only themselves, and also being very nice and friendly. So that is it, and we will all talk to you next week. Sarate.
Zordon, this seems hopeless.
Indeed it would, Trini. Were it not for your power crystal.
Of course. Put your hands together and bring forth the power crystals.